Today is a great day in reflection. How many of you are glad it's over? That all the Christmas shopping, all the preparations are over. Billions of people celebrate this day. But think about all the preparations, the lights, the Christmas caroling, retelling the story, Gabriel's visitation, the journey to Bethlehem, the arrival of the baby in the stable, the glorious announcements to the shepherds in the night, the star in the east, the journey of the Magi. This is a great story. But one of the things that happens with knowing the story is we become so familiar with it that I wonder if it loses its amazement, if it loses its wonder in some way. That even sometimes when we sing the traditional hymns, we sing it without even thinking about it. It's like you can say the Lord's Prayer while you're doing something else because you just learn it. But does it have meaning? And I think that that's our challenge as believers, as Christians, is how do we keep it fresh? How do we keep it fresh? We read the Word of God, but is it old? Is it stale to you? You already know the story. How do we come at it and look at it with new eyes? Looking for maybe a new nuance to the text. But I think that's our challenge. Christmas is going to come every year, and we're going to tell the story. But how do we keep it fresh? I was looking on the internet and I came across this story by Rick Hopp. He said that he was moved by this song by Matthew West, and it's called The Motions. It speaks of living passionately for Christ, not just going through the motions. Hop said, tears flowed from his eyes when I heard the lines. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion living inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of going through the motions? It's easy to do, isn't it? To go through the motions. To come to church and endure this loudmouth preacher for 1 hour, it's easy to do. But somehow, sometimes we come and it's almost like we're punching our ticket. And we can get on the phone and say, girl, yeah, I just left church. And you can tell somebody you've been at church. But was the church really in you? Did you really hear the message? Did it live inside of you? Did it do anything different inside of you? You can't blame everything on the preacher. Amen. But what do we come with when we come to church? And I always ask about our expectancy. If you don't expect anything to happen, guess what? It's probably not going to happen for you inside of you. But if you come just believing that God can do anything but fail, that there's no failure in God, and that he can take the same words that you've read over and over again and help you to experience it anew. Help me to experience it anew. I have a seminary degree, but every time I read the scripture, I'm looking for something different. I'm looking for a different voice in the text. I'm looking for another nuance. I don't want to preach the same message that I preached last year. And I think that that's our challenge. So today, as I'm looking at the scripture, Christ's birth resulted in praise, it resulted in good news, and it resulted in peace. We know this story. And as we look at it, Joseph has gone to Bethlehem to register. Mary is pregnant. This is a long journey. Someone, I think, last night said that it was about 1,000 miles. I don't know that that's true. But that's a long way to travel on donkey and being pregnant. And yet, there was no place for them at the inn because everyone had traveled to register. And perhaps that's why there was no room. But while this was going on, the angels appeared to the shepherds. I would imagine that it says, and the glory of God shone around them. I imagine that was a frightening sight, startling. But the angel says, don't be afraid. And then the angel told them of this great thing. But notice in the text that while the angel is talking, a great host of other angels showed up and they began to praise God. When something good happens in our lives, how do we keep it to ourselves? When my son, before he was born, I told everybody his name. I told everybody the day that it was supposed to happen, which it didn't happen that way. But I told everybody. Do you know a fisherman that's never talked about their catch? You know a golfer that never talks about the game? Do you know a police officer that never talks about his work? We all do because we talk about the things that we love. And I imagine that the shepherds were beside themselves, that an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and that they would have this great opportunity to see this great sight. And if you notice, it says that when the angels went back into the heavens, that the shepherd says, let's go and see this great thing that the Lord has shared with us. Notice they didn't say the angels. They said this great thing that the Lord has shared with us. And my friends, they go. And when they went there, they found Jesus lying in a manger, just like the angels had said to them. And it says they left and they told everybody what they saw. They told everybody what they heard. And the scripture says, and the people that they told were amazed. And anywhere you see that in the Bible, it means they became believers. The people became believers. Who are you telling about God? Who are you telling about this great thing that God has done in your life, this great thing that God continues to do in your life? How many of you are products of prayer? I'm a product of prayer and good whippings. Anybody ever have a good whipping? He's laughing. But we all are, because God has done great things in every one of our lives. But my friends, what the shepherds saw that day is they got a glimpse of God's handiwork, of what God was up to, that God had a plan of salvation to bring us into connection with Him so that we might have a relationship with Him. And this was the good news. So the birth of Christ resulted in good news. Some of you heard me share this story, but I'm going to share it again. When I was in the Marine Corps, we had a gunnery sergeant, or a staff sergeant. His name was Staff Sergeant Sanders. And he was as tough as nail. He wasn't a big guy, but he was just tough as nail. He went down to Court Street, got into a fight. His nose was broken, never got it repaired. And so he talked with this nasal sound. And every time we'd see him, you had to kind of laugh under your breath because you didn't want to upset him. So the battalion commander says, I'm going to give you guys 4 days off for 96. Go get cleaned up and come back to formation in your civilian attire We were like, man, we're getting 4 days off. It's not even leave. This is awesome. So we go, we get cleaned up, get in our civilian attire. We come back to the formation, and we don't see the captain coming. We see Staff Sergeant Sanders. Everybody's like, oh, Lord, Staff Sergeant Sanders. So he walks over in Staff Sergeant Sanders fashion. 10, huh. We come to attention. I've got some good news, and I've got some bad news. Which news do you want first? Staff Sergeant Sanders, give us the good news. The good news is that they send me to deliver the bad news. And we went on air alert that day. Air alert is when you have to be ready to respond to anything around the world within 24 hours. And so that's why it was called off. There was a farmer who went to the banker, and he told the banker that he was not going to be able to make his mortgage payments. He says, this farm is just too much. I'm not even going to be able to make the payments on some of the equipment that we've taken out loans with you. But I'll turn it all over to you, and you can salvage as much as you want. And the banker paused for a minute, and the banker says, you told me you have good news and bad news, but you just shared the bad news, so what's the good news? He said, well, the good news is that I'm going to continue to bank with you. That's not the news of this text. When you go to this text and you look at verse 10 and 11, it says, this day in the city of David, the Son of God has been born. This day is good news. Salvation has come. The promise of the Messiah is here. That's the good news. Listen, my friends, when you think about a holy God and God's people being separated from a holy God, it meant that our relationship, there was enmity between us and God. There was a break, a rift, if you will. And so how do we come back into harmony with God? God had a plan. And that plan was Jesus Christ. I was looking up the word peace. And a lot of times we think that peace is the absence of tension. But peace is the presence of God. You see, the Jewish would say shalom, and that means peace be with you. But Jesus, it meant for us to be reconciled to a God who loves us. It meant Emmanuel with us. God is with us. It changes everything. It changes everything. This Christ child, as I was sharing last night, is an amazing gift to us if we can just get our minds around it. Just think, the wise men traveled, and I Googled it to see how far Persia was from Jerusalem. They had to go through Iran, through Iraq, and then to Jerusalem. One way, 750 miles by way of a camel. And they came all this way to see this great sight. So the total trip would be 15,000 miles. Is that right? 1,500. I was never good at math, so. But if you're looking for the peace that would take away violence from our world, that's not the peace that we're talking about. We live in a crazy world. All sorts of things happen. But I dare you to develop a relationship with God. I dare you to trust his word because I know that it changes lives. It's changed my life for the better, and it'll change yours. The Wright brothers, on December 1903, had flown their plane, and it got up 120 feet off the ground, and they was able to fly the first plane. They got word back to their sister. She immediately ran to the newspaper to say that her brothers had flown the plane 120 feet off the ground and that they would be home for Christmas. And the newspaper read, "The Wright brothers are coming home for Christmas." Missed the whole fact that they had flown a plane for the first time 120 feet off the ground. Why am I sharing that story with you? Don't let the baby Jesus just be an old story to you. Don't let the Word of God just be an old book that you pick up every now and then, but there's dust all over it in your house. Don't let the songs that we sing become stale and meaningless. In closing, listen to Dr. Howard Thurman as he talks about the work of Christmas. He says, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are at home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. The Christ child came to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to give release to prisoners, to teach all nations that salvation has come to all. Therefore, let us make music in our hearts, for the birth of Jesus resulted in praise, it resulted in peace, and it resulted in good news. Let us pray. Lord, what a challenge it is for us to reflect on your goodness. To reflect on your grace. To know that our lives are different. That if we would just trust you, that all things will work together for our good. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will they hear from heaven. Then will I heal their land. On this Christmas day, let us leave this place knowing that we are blessed and better for coming. Let your will be done. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen.